Ladies and gentlemen, it's the wife who adventures in space, So Paramon.
Now here comes the wife in space, although her actual name is Sue. And she's not actually in space, but she's a wife, it's true. She offers her opinion, Neil Perryman transcribes her narration. Concerning Dudley Simpson, well, it's Derek in Nation, and also interior decoration and carpentry.
She'll say that they should have called the show Ian.
I do actually know the difference between crumpets and pikelets. I was just surprised that Neil seemed called crumpets pikelets as well.
Welcome to the Wife in Space podcast, and I'd like to thank John Callahan there for the theme music, and I also want to point out that I can tell the difference between pikelets and crumpets. It's a Midlands thing.
So what's this podcast about?
Well, it's basically a chance for us to look back on the experiment so far and also to answer some questions from some of our readers.
What kind of questions?
Questions like this.
Hi Sue, it's Simon, your posh friend from down south. And my question is, from everything we've learned about the John Pertwee era, based on your comments, the incident with Joe and the sandwich is the defining moment.
Heaven's sakes, Joe. Do you think this is a picnic?
So I'm curious to know if you have a favourite kind of sandwich, and if so, what is it?
BLT. All the questions will be like this, Neil.
We've also got some songs, and here is the first song, and it's the Wife in Space rap by Alex Kershaw.
What do you think it's called?
Something of the Dalek. Or something of the Cyberman.
Reasons why I like the wife in space. Right humor and Sue Perryman's young face. They've got good jobs as lecturers, you see. They're educated, witty and funny.
I wanna be alone with the wife in space. Go out for food, the better to get her in the mood and then go back to my place. It's quite late, I hope my parents aren't awake so we can get busy watching Warrior's Gate. I'm quite sick, and for the right cash, I hope she'll tie me up and make me watch Time Lash. Dig your claws of access into me and I will start to scream. Neil can be watching on a screen like he's from Varus, know what I mean? You might think I'm just a lame nerd.
And I'd kill William Hartnell.
But I'll be there when you and Neil fall out like J&T and Eric Saward.
Because you could make it quick.
We'll make a vow, we'll make a pact. We'll stick together like a Robert Holmes double act. Can't believe that we're halfway through. I'm in love with a girl named Sue. You can stop my panic attacks, and that's a fact.
Reasons why I like the wife in space. Right humor and Sue Perryman's young face. They've got good jobs as lecturers, you see.
Hello, I'm Nicole, and you're listening to a very special Wife in Space podcast.
Alex Kershaw, why does that name ring a bell?
Well, it should ring a bell because you have got a restraining order out against him.
Good song, though.
And it's not just songs.
What else have we got?
Well, we've also got the odd shameless plug masquerading as a goodwill message.
What do you mean?
Radio Free Scarrow.
Hi there, Neil and Sue. This is Stephen from Radio Free Scarrow. That's Stephen Moffat. If you're listening, that's Radio Free Scarrow. Available at RadioFreeScarrow.com. Gallifrey One's official podcast, don't you know? Anyway, I'm really enjoying the blog. It's really entertaining and stuff. It's weird though. Most people sort of when they reach a certain time in their lives, they sort of train to run a marathon for a year. You've sort of embarked on a Doctor Who marathon. Slight misunderstanding, but there's so much to look forward to though, Sue. I can't wait to see what you think of the mandrels, of the Merca, of megabyte modems, I tell you. Thanks again for the blog. Thanks for having me on to spiel like this. And Stephen Moffat, if you're listening, we'd love to have you on. Just saying, RadioFreeScarrow.com. Okay, bye!
Okay, so it's basically taken us 5 minutes now to explain the format of the podcast. Are you happy with the format?
Yeah, yeah. Sounds all right.
Right, okay, so let's kick off with a question.
Question for Sue Perryman from Dave Sanders in Northern Ireland. Cue John Pertwee impression in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Sue. I have a question to put to you. Let us imagine that I have asked you to design a new vehicle for me. It can be anything you like, as long as you deem it appropriate. Right, cheerio, chaps. Beep beep.
The vehicle I would design for John Pertwee would look a bit like a police box, and it would be a TARDIS. A TARDIS that would get you where you wanted to go in the right coordinates at the right time. It's a vehicle. What more could you want? It's a perfect vehicle.
And John, has also composed a song for us, which I think neatly sums up the Pertwee era.
Yesterday, Metabilis seemed light years away. Now that CSO is here to stay, I wish the place would go away. Suddenly, there's a yellow fringe surrounding me. Have to act with stuff that I can't see, cause Barry's hooked on chroma key. When our budget low, CSO is let's decree. Now I've lost my mind, colour blind from chroma key. Yesterday, set designers wanted extra pay, so a postcard's all we've used today, with separation overlay. When our budget low, CSO is let's decree. Now I've lost my mind, colour blind from chroma key. Don't make me punt again through that green maggot sea. Rubber dinosaurs cost 50p, cause Barry's hooked on chroma key. No, don't turn off the air, they want to fly the wha!
Now, Neil, when are you going to sit her down and watch Blake 7 from the beginning?
Hello, Bob Fisher here, presenter of the BBC Tees radio programme, Bob Fisher. I'd like to ask Sue if you could have any of the first three doctors as a house guest for a week, which one would it be and why? And what would you make them for dinner on the first night?
Oh, definitely Pat Troughton. Yeah. Because he'd be low maintenance.
Why is that?
Well, he's sort of scruffy, isn't he? So you wouldn't have to tidy up too much.
That's a good point.
You know, it's not like having a tough round, you know, where you'd have to like make it all nice and clean.
You'd have to make an effort for Pertwee, wouldn't you? What would you cook for him?
I don't know, probably BLT.
Bow is it to me, you see. The thing about this programme, you see, is it's for Sue Perelman and for Neil Perelman to watch 40 years later, you see, and to make witty and acerbic remarks about, you see, and to keep on saying, is that the master? Even when it's clearly another creature, just to annoy diehard fans, you see, and that this whole conversation will probably be replayed in the Pertwee era retrospective. And so I said to Barry, you see, do you mean they're writing some kind of blog? And Barry said to me, you see, we're not supposed to know what blogs are, as they haven't been invented yet. This is still the 1970s, get on with your work. So I had another go at Baldy and woke Robert.
Hi Sue, this is Rita in Oregon. My question is, how has watching lots of Doctor Who together affected your relationship with Neil?
Well, the sex is better for one thing.
And on that bombshell, here's another song. It's the Wife in Space shanty from Ben Goody.
The cruelest thing that you can do is make your wife watch Doctor Who, and 1 year after 72 to tell her only halfway through the world has come to pity Sue, the wife in space.
As marital obligations go, this is a trial of pain and woe, with a hey and a ho and a nonny no, the wife in space.
The Hartnell years were hard to bear, though fandom thinks it much unfair that Marco Polo wasn't there. Why ought a wife in space together a better times to rant and swear, the wife in space?
ways.
As marital obligations go, this is a trial of pain and woe, with a hey and a ho and a nonny no, the wife in space.
Every evening through the night, staring at the flickering light, dreary age of trout and blight, with recons fraught in black and white, cushions many enjoyments light, the wife in space.
As marital obligations go, this is a trial of pain and woe, with a hey and a ho and a nonny no, the wife in space.
When colour came, it seemed a hit. Bright lights exposed the flaws a bit. And would the mutants make you split? While Pertwee irked the wife a bit. Misogynistic Tory shit had the wife in space.
As marital obligations go, this is a trial of pain and woe, with a hey and a ho and a nonny no, the wife in space.
But Sue, you liked the mutants. You scored it a 7. Which reminds me, there's a much better series you could be watching. Saying that, you can skip episode 1 if you like.
Hi Sue, it's John Williams here from Tachyon TV. Well done, you've made it to the end of the Third Doctor era. That's no mean feat. As you pointed out many times, the Third Doctor was a very difficult Doctor to get along with. He could behave monstrously. What I want to know, my question is, who do you think would have made the perfect companion to the Third Doctor? I'd be very interested to know that. The other question I have is, when are you going to let me have Neil back?
Okay. Companion for him. I would reckon it would be Benton.
No, someone else. Someone...
Why not Benton? Why not Benton?
Do you think Benton should have travelled with him in the TARDIS?
Yeah, I do. I think he would have appreciated it.
He would have appreciated it?
Yeah.
Okay, you've got to be careful.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you later.
Hello, Fuchsia Begoni from the Dirty Who Is podcast here. Sue, thank you so much for watching those recons so we don't have to.
Hello Neil and hello Sue, Andrew Smith here. Over the course of the Pertwee era, you've encountered many an eligible bachelor, and I was just wondering really, if you had to choose, will it be number 1, Sergeant Benton? If a man in uniform doesn't float your boat, he'll thrill you with his plans of opening up his own used car dealership, but you've got to be careful. Or how about a kinky old time with contestant number 2? He is the master, and you will obey him. And finally, number 3 offers you a quiet night at a local travel inn where his wife and Doris need never find out. Will you be joining Alistair for 5 rounds rapid tonight? Those are our contestants. The choice is yours. And the same question to Neil.
Why is it that every time Andrew asks a question, it's always about sex?
So what's your answer then?
Definitely Benton. You know, out of the 3, it's a no-brainer, really. Do we have to listen to the theme to Blind Date?
No, we've got some other music. We've got another song, if you'd like one.
Oh, yes, please.
This is a little ditty from Andrew Torrance.
So here I am, sitting. Watching.
Terry Connection.
Not sure about the music.
Terry Connection.
Is it Dudley?
Terry Connection.
You're
hand fisted
bun builder.
Second
on the
call.
And what? I'm afraid I do not understand your language.
Who wrote this one?
You see,
there's nothing you can do to stop us now.
He was mainly off his head on drugs when he wrote it. That's what documents it.
Thank you. That makes everything quite clear.
Right, that's it. It's off now.
Hi, Sue. This is Fred from Kansas. I noticed that you gave the Daleks 3 out of 10 and Death to the Daleks 5 out of 10. Now, you liked the first half of the Daleks, and you didn't like anything about Death to the Daleks, which is one of the few things we agree on. So my question to you is, why the change? Are you warming up to Doctor Who?
So, Fred, I sum it up like this. The Daleks was black and white, 7 episodes long, with an unlikable Doctor. Whereas Death of the Daleks was 4 episodes long, in colour, with an unlikable Doctor.
Hi Sue, Hugh Davis here. If you could destroy one episode from the Pertwee era and watch it again as a recon, which one would it be?
What a ridiculous question. What stage of my life would I have to be at to do that? That is just preposterous.
Hello, this is Ben from Sheffield. My question is for Neil. Now, it seems to me that Sue is very fortunate to be coming to these stories free from fan prejudices and takes each story on its own merits. You, however, seem to come more and more with a sort of woe. A malaise covers you from the moment you sit down because so many of these stories seem to be your least favourite, and when that is the case, they never seem to cheer or surprise you. Is it possible that Sue is enjoying this experiment far more than you are, even when she isn't enjoying it very much? Indeed, do you enjoy the stories more when you're watching with Sue or when you're engaging in your illicit solo viewing experiences?
Got two questions. Is that Ben's real voice? And what does he mean by solo explicit viewing?
Explicit? He didn't say that.
He did. He said so explicit solo viewing.
Explicit. He said illicit.
Okay. What does he mean by solo illicit viewing?
Well, occasionally I'll sneak down at night and watch some Peter Davison without you. Does that upset you?
It does a little bit.
Does it really? I'd just like to say thanks, Ben, for asking me a question. I don't know why you're picking this up from me. It is true, there's a few John Pertwee stories I don't like, but Sue has surprised me, and I did enjoy The Time Monster for the first time ever. So now I've got Sue to thank for that.
Hello, my name's Liam from Newcastle. Now, you've reached the Tom Baker era where Doctor Who has been going on for many years and has become a genuine institution and a part of British culture. Would you say that it's the best thing British television has created?
Listen. I, Claudius, Edge of Darkness, Singing Detective, GBH, Gangsters, Only Fools and Horses. Doctor Who's good, but it's not that good.
Jeremy Phillips from London here. I'd like to ask Sue who she thinks gives the worst performance in any of the John Pertwee stories, and also which actor, living or dead, she'd cast in their place.
Oh, it's a toss-up between Jenny Laird and Mike Yates.
Mike Yates. Who would you get to play Mike Yates?
I would say David Essex or Peter Gordino.
What about Jenny Laird?
I don't know. Beryl Reid or...?
Beryl Reid in Doctor Who? Are you insane?
Hi Sue and Neil, this is Emmett from Victoria, Canada. Now that you've seen more episodes and certainly more recons than many people who call themselves fans, do you think you've become a bit more of a fan yourself now, or do you still really feel like an outsider?
Oh, I guess it depends on what you would define as a fan, really. I mean, I've certainly got a much more appreciation for the show, but it wouldn't be part of my normal evening viewing if it wasn't for this experiment. So I guess, in that sense, I'm not a fan, because I don't sort of want to watch more and more and more. I'm doing it because I have to, but I'm sort of enjoying it at the same time, if you know what I mean.
Hello, my name's Simon Harris, and until last year, I was series editor of BBC Television's Cash in the Attic series, so I got to know antiques and collectibles really well. Now, on the Wife in Space website just now, Neil and Sue are selling an attractive range of cups, and it's quite clear that if you buy some of these cups and leave them in your attic, then in about 70 or 80 years' time, they're going to be worth call. So buy a whole bunch of them now and enjoy them for what they are. You'll be chuckling away to yourself for, minutes. Thanks for listening, and I honestly can't wait to hear what Sue thinks of the Tom Baker era. Good luck, my dears. Bye-bye, Duggan!
I just want to clarify that antimatter universes are a theoretical impossibility.
Sue! It's me. Oh, for God's sake, no, I'm not the sodding master, okay? It's Glenn Allen, star of screen and stage. You may remember me from such things as UK Gold, BBC, and standing you up at the Doctor Who Experience. Well, because I admire your etheric beam locators, I decided to write you a little ditty. Okay, here goes.
There's a girl, let's call her Sue. Her hubby makes her watch Doctor Who. She speaks her mind on every occasion, and sometimes we get
terrifination.
The wife in space is full of laughter, even when Sue asks,
is it the master?
Things are thrown, cushions and shoes, just because
don't be confused.
So tell me, Sue, will this song be a hit?
It's rubbish, this. I don't really like it.
Fine, pack it in, lads. Cut.
Best thing in the Pertwee era? Well, Captain Hawkins, obviously.
OK, and now it's time for the part of the show that I like to call...
Questions from people who are too embarrassed to send an MP3.
And the first question is from Mark Falconer.
Peter Gordino, Anthony Newley or John Pertwee?
Anthony Newley.
And our next question is from Matthew Clark.
If you had a job working for UNIT, what would you be doing?
I probably would be doing all the carpentry. I'd probably go around fixing all the broken chair legs that the Brigadier have smashed around Benton's head or something. I don't know.
What episode have you been watching?
No, I know exactly. That's the one I want to watch.
And here's a question from John Smith.
Will you be doing a full run of the Big Finish audios, novels, comic strips, short stories and Sky Ray Ice lolly cards?
No.
And finally, a question from Robert Dick.
Can you appreciate why this show means so much to Neil?
Yes, I can see why it means so much to Neil. I think he can sort of plot his childhood from every Doctor and every series and every episode and every time it was transmitted and every monster. It's just he can map his life out from that, so I can see why it means a whole load to Neil.
Okay, now I'm going to take the opportunity to give you some quick fire questions, and I want the first thing that comes into your head. There's no editing involved, we're just going to go for it. Okay, favourite outfit in the Pertwee era?
It's got to be Joe's white trouser suit.
Favourite villain in the Pertwee era?
The Master.
Bessie or the Whomobile?
Bessie.
Joe Grant or Sarah Jane?
Ooh, tough one. Sarah Jane.
Ooh, controversial. Yates or Benton?
Benton.
Chroma Key or CSO?
CSO.
Hello Sue, John Paul here. You're only 88 stories away from my blinking great performance in Rise of the Cybermen. Sorry, what's that? Oh, she is doing the Colin Baker era. Sue, you're only 99 stories away from my blinking great performance in Rise of the Cybermen. All the best, be seeing you.
Hello Neil and Sue, this is Chip from the 2-Minute Time Lord podcast. I also have a wife, and she did travel with me in space once upon a time, but unfortunately...
Run to the one that keeps you in style for a year or day.
And I lost her midway through Series 6. My question for you, Sue, is what could possibly make you abandon the experiment? Which would be more likely, Something about the stories that just turned you off completely? Or something Neil did? My money's on Neil. I mean, look at those shifty eyes.
I don't think anything's going to stop us because we've come this far and we sort of, Neil keeps telling me we're over the worst and I'm sort of believing him, so I'm hoping that we aren't going to go back to those black and white recons, 7 episodes, 8 episodes.
No, Sylvester McCoy is not in black and white, I can guarantee
you. Okay, so it can't get any worse. So we've come this far. I would feel like...
I didn't say it couldn't get any worse. I just said it wasn't in black and white.
Yeah, but I feel as though we'll be failing if we stop now, so we've got to continue. And I think in fairness, I'm more keen than you sometimes.
I think death's the only thing that's going to stop us now. Okay, I think it's time for another song now, and we've got a lovely little song now here from Peter Lack.
At the outset here I must impress, but the point of this song is to seriously stress the importance of this amazing blog, so I must not digress. Neil, listen to me for a moment, would you? You hit upon an idea so totally new, with a little bit of Sherman and Haydock, your vision it grew. But the moment of genius, in my particular view, was the arrival of our eponymous heroine Sue. We have shared with her a junkyard and a Stone Age saga, Daleks and the brink of disaster, several recons along the road, but one for the Spanish episode. The doctor we learned was a liability. Companions clearly have much more ability. Sue picked out what we all should have seen. They really should have called the show.
Thank you.
experiment continues.
When will I get my mother back?
Hi, this is Gary. You're listening to The Wife in Space, when really you should be watching Lost in Space. It's much better.
I want to test you, Sue, before we sum up this podcast, on what you've actually managed to assimilate from the experiment. So, no editing involved. I'm taking your first answer, okay? So,
yeah, but no, you know what my memory's like.
Yes, I know, but we need proof.
Yeah, but you're going to make me sound stupid here.
No, well, you'll be fine. So, I want you to complete the episode titles.
Oh, got no chance, honestly, now. I'm telling you, got no chance.
Let's see how you do. So, first of all, the claws of...
Oh, no, I don't know.
Axos. Terror of the...
Nations.
No, it's not...
No, it's not Terror of the Nations.
It's not Terror of the Nations, but it's close.
Terror of the Daleks.
No. The Ambassadors of...
Doom.
The Ambassadors of Doom. You're very close. The monster of... Okay, you've got two shots at the next one. Planet of the...
Dalek.
Yeah, no, Daleks. Next, actors.
Oh, yeah. No chance.
Okay, who played Benton?
I know this one, it's Ian Levine.
Not Ian Levine.
It's Ian Levine. He's the one that walked past us, apparently.
John Levine.
Oh, come on,
close,
it's close.
Close. Who played Joe Grant?
Tweeted you the other day, didn't she? That's right. What's the caller again? Katie Manning.
Well done. Who played the master?
Roger Delgado.
No, oh, well done. Who played Pigbin Josh?
No idea.
We'll let that one go. Finally, behind the scenes information. Which actor was famous for telling the anecdote concerning an eye patch?
Benton. No, Brigadier.
Which director refused to work with Dudley Simpson?
I don't know. Douglas Camfield.
Excellent. Do you understand what vidfire does?
Yes.
Do your impression of Terence Dix.
Bowie.
And finally...
Bowie says...
And finally, true or false, the guy who played Tommy in Planet of the Spiders also wrote episodes of Terry and June.
Yes, but I only know that because Steve O'Brien told us.
Still to come, Tom Baker!
So, we're about to leave John Pertwee behind forever. Can you sum him up in three words?
Old pompous twat.
Are you looking forward to Tom?
Jones?
No, Baker.
Yes.
Are you really looking forward to
him? I am, actually. Yes, I am.
And do you still love me even though I've put you through this?
Yes. I had to think about that, didn't I?
I often lie awake at night, worrying if the Perrimans will make it as far as Timelash.